Chernabog was the last person out of the motel. As he locked the building, he watched the Humvee pull out of the park and head off down the blacktop. He put the key to the motel beneath a rock by the lobby door, and he shook his head.
I should have eaten his heart,
he said to Shadow conversationally.
Not just cursed his death, he needs to be taught respect.
He climbed into the back of the bus.
You ride shotgun,
said Mr. Nancy to Shadow.
I'll drive a while.
He drove east. Dawn found them in Princeton, Missouri. Shadow had not slept yet.
Anywhere you want us to drop you. If I were you, I'd rustle up some ID and head for Canada. Or Mexico.
I'm sticking with you guys. It's what Wednesday would have wanted.
You aren't working for him anymore. He's dead. Once we drop his body off, you are free to go.
And do what?
Keep out of the way while the war is on. Like I say, you should leave the country.
He flipped his turn signal and took a left.
Hide yourself for a little time. Then, when this is over, you will come back to me, and I will finish the whole thing with my hammer.
Where are we taking the body?
Virginia. There's a tree.
A world tree. We had one in my part of the world, but ours grew under the world, not above it.
We put him at the foot of the tree. We leave him there. We let you go. We drive south. There's a battle. Blood is shed. Many die. The world changes a little.
You don't want me at your battle? I'm pretty big. I'm good in a fight.
Nancy turned his head to Shadow and smiled. The first real smile Shadow had seen on Mr. Nancy's face since he had rescued Shadow from the Lumber County Jail.
Most of this battle will be fought in a place you cannot go, and you cannot touch.
In the hearts and the minds of the people, like at the big roundabout.
Huh?
The carousel.
Oh,
said Shadow.
Backstage, I got it. Like the desert with all the bones in it.
Backstage. Backstage, yes. Every time I figure you don't have enough sense to bring guts to a bear, you surprise me. That's right. Backstage. That's where the real battle will happen. Everything else will just be flash and thunder.
Tell me about the vigil.
Someone has to stay with the body. It's a tradition. One of our people will do it.
He wanted me to do it.
No, it will kill you. Bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah? It'll kill me? To stay with his body?
It's what happens when the All-Father dies. It wouldn't be true for me. When I die, I just want them to plant me somewhere warm. And then when pretty women walk over my grave, I would grab their ankles like in that movie.
I never saw that movie.
Of course you did. It's right at the end. It's the high school movie. All the children going to the prom.
Chernabog shook his head.
The film's called Carrie, Mr. Chernabog. Okay. When do you tell me about the vigil?
You tell him. I'm driving.
I never heard of no film called Carrie. You tell him.
The person on the vigil gets tied to the tree. Just like Wednesday was. And then they hang there for 9 days and 9 nights. No food, no water, all alone. At the end, they cut the person down, and if they lived, well, it could happen. And Wednesday will have had his vigil.
Maybe Alvis will send us one of his people. A dwarf could survive it.
I'll do it.
No.
Yes.
The two old men were silent. Then Nancy said,
Why?
Because it's the kind of thing a living person would do.
You are crazy.
Maybe. But I'm gonna hold Wednesday's vigil.
When they stopped for gas, Chernabog announced he felt sick and wanted to ride in the front. Shadow didn't mind moving to the back of the bus. He could stretch out more and sleep. They drove on in silence. Shadow felt that he'd done something very big and very strange, and he wasn't certain exactly what it was.
Hey, Chernabog. you check out the technical boy back at the motel. He was not happy. He's been screwing with something that screwed him right back. That's the biggest trouble with the new kids. They figure they know everything, and you can't teach them nothing but the hard way.
Good.
Shadow was stretched out full length on the seat in the back. He felt like two people, or more than two. There was part of him that felt gently exhilarated. He had done something. He had moved. It wouldn't have mattered if he hadn't wanted to live, but he did want to live, and that made all the difference. He hoped he would live through this, but he was willing to die if that was what it took to be alive. And for a moment, he thought that the whole thing was funny, just the funniest thing in the world, and he wondered if Laura would appreciate the joke. There was another part of him. Maybe it was Mike Ainsel, he thought. Vanished off into nothing at the press of a button in the Lakeside Police Department, who was still trying to figure it all out, trying to see the big picture.
Hidden Indians.
What?
The pictures you'd get to color in as kids. Can you see the hidden Indians in this picture? There are 10 Indians in this picture. Can you find them all? And at first glance, you could see only the waterfall and the rocks and the trees. And then you see that if you just tip the picture on its side, that shadow is an Indian.
Sleep.
But the big picture.
Then he slept and dreamed of hidden Indians. The tree was in Virginia. It was a long way from anywhere on the back of an old farm. To get to the farm, they had to drive for almost an hour south from Blacksburg to drive roads with names like Pennywinkle Branch and Rooster Spur. They got turned around twice, and Mr. Nancy and Chernabog both lost their tempers with Shadow and with each other. They stopped to get directions at a tiny general store set at the bottom of the hill in the place where the road forked. An old man came out of the back of the store and stared at them. He wore Oshkosh Bagosh denim overalls and nothing else, not even shoes. Chernabog bought a pickled hog's foot from the huge jar of hog's feet on the counter and went outside to eat it on the deck, while Nancy and the man in the overalls took turns drawing each other maps on the back of napkins, marking off turnings and local landmarks. They set off once more, with Mr. Nancy driving, and they were there in 10 minutes. A sign on the gate said, Ash. Shadow got out of the bus and opened the gate. The bus drove through, jolting through the meadowland. Shadow closed the gate. He walked a little behind the bus, stretching his legs, jogging when the bus got too far in front of him, enjoying the sensation of moving his body. He had lost all sense of time on the drive from Kansas. Had they been driving for 2 days, 3 days? He did not know. The body in the back of the bus did not seem to be rotting. He could smell it, a faint odor of Jack Daniels overlaid with something that might have been sour honey, but the smell was not unpleasant. From time to time he would take out the glass eye from his pocket and look at it. It was shattered deep inside, fractured from what he imagined was the impact of a bullet. But apart from a chip to one side of the iris, the surface was unmarred. Shadow would run it through his hands, palming it, rolling it, pushing it along with his fingers. It was a ghastly souvenir, but oddly comforting. And he suspected that it would have amused Wednesday to know that his eye had wound up in Shadow's pocket. The farmhouse was dark and shut up. The meadows were overgrown and seemed abandoned. The building's roof was crumbling at the back. It was covered in black plastic sheeting. They jolted over a ridge and Shadow saw the tree. It was silver gray and it was higher than the farmhouse. It was the most beautiful tree Shadow had ever seen, spectral and yet utterly real and almost perfectly symmetrical. It also looked instantly familiar. He wondered if he had dreamed it, and realized that no, he had seen it before, or a representation of it many times. It was Wednesday's silver tie pin. The VW bus jolted and bumped across the meadow, and came to a stop about 20 feet from the trunk of the tree. There were three women standing by the tree. At first glance, Shadow thought that they were the Zoria, but he realized in moments that he was mistaken. They were three women he did not know. They looked tired and bored, as if they had been standing there for a long time. Each of them held a wooden ladder. The biggest one of them also carried a brown sack. They looked like a set of Russian dolls. A tall one, she was Shadow's height or even taller, a middle-sized one, and a woman so short and hunched that at first glance Shadow wrongly supposed her to be a child. Still, they looked so much alike, something in the forehead or the eyes or the set of the chin, that Shadow was certain that the women must be sisters.